I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy hump day. Good afternoon. Welcome. This is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by our friends at Happy State Bank. You can take that mobile app just about anywhere with you, even listen in out in Fingerville, South Carolina, alongside the one and only Chris Snead. I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us. You two can join the conversation. You got thoughts, comments, questions? Bring them all in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Hey, yo, Sneeder.
What's up? What it do, y'all? What it be? What it will be? What it was?
Is this the last time you're going to wear a sweater? Or not sweater. A vest? Because we're almost out of vest season. It looks like we got all 80s after.
I know. But I was happy to have a chance to wear a vest again today.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I was happy that my game was postponed to today from yesterday.
You going to wear the vest on
on the
field?
I'll be on the bases, and I will wear.
Are you baseballing or softballing?
Baseball. Come on, man.
Whoa. You're a softball dad. Why are you come on manning me? I didn't know if you do softball
I don't do softball. Okay. I'm not disparaging any guy. I know a lot of great guys, Donnie Rundell, Josh Forber, a lot of guys, great dudes that do softball.
I am just
not one of them.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't even said it like that. I apologize to the softball umpires. I didn't mean to make it sound disparaging like that. I just don't do softball.
You just don't?
No.
Don't mess with it.
I don't do wrestling. I know a lot of great wrestling officials out there.
Volleyball?
I do volleyball.
I'm trying to think of any others that...
I'm not a track and field official.
Tennis?
I don't. You know, tennis, they do self-officiating for those kids.
I didn't know if there was one that, like, walked the courts if they had issues.
I don't
or
know
something.
If there is if that, but I believe in tennis the kids officiate their own. They self-call their own ins and outs.
So what happens when you have a dispute? That's what I'm wondering. Is like, I get if they had one for
know.
Six courts.
Or... I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
And maybe some if there's a tennis official out here. But I know that... I mean,
golf is self-officiated.
Daughter number one played tennis. And she would, they would just self-officiate their own deals. And it was kind of funny in the way they would kind of do it sometimes. If two girls were really bad and they knew they were really bad and they just, and Cass was like really bad. So they would just like, yeah, I'm that's out. And, if you let this one be in, your next one will be in too.
It's that kind of self-officiating.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I'm out there watching, and I'm like, what are y'all doing there? She's yeah, we kind of work it out.
You know? Just got a system. Don't worry about it, Dad. We got a system.
Okay.
We're good to go. We'll get into a variety of topics today as we'll talk a little tech football as we sit amid spring practices. Well, we got 10 days left till the spring game itself.
Yeah.
I'm
going to get some practice in tomorrow. I'm going to go out there and do some practice tomorrow.
You going to practice?
I'm going to run out there and work some practice.
That's
tomorrow.
What I figured.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's practice for you too, right?
Yeah.
You call it that? So you got that. You can give us a little report of what you see.
You can't. Strictly prohibited.
Yep. Just give us all the report.
Nope.
Just be like, man.
That is not why I'm going
this
to practice.
This guy broke his leg in half.
Nope. That is not why I go.
I'm just kidding. I know you can't. We will we'll continue to talk some. Did I never send you an email?
Nope. Sure didn't. I have no idea what we're talking about today, so I'm just going to talk about random stuff.
Kaylee's Daily. We know that's coming at
yeah.
Some point today. There. Look at that. You got an email from me.
How about that?
You don't need emails. You panicking as a Rangers fan yet?
Nope.
Three in a row, man. Three losses in a row.
Oh, my God. They're swirling the drain, and the Rangers are going to never go into another game, and the Astros are going to go 159-3 the rest of the way, and it's going to be...
I will say, I didn't like seeing the Rangers lose to the A's yesterday in general. Don't like seeing them lose to
them. I didn't see any of the game last night, so...
But I did... It made it worse.
Well, Bochy said
that Shea Langeliers hit three home runs against the Rangers. So
had a good a guy had a big night.
Yeah, but
a Baylor Bear.
Yeah, didn't care for that too much. That he had the big night. Probably had a little extra, you know, oomph to beat the home state hometown team.
Okay,
but yeah, Rangers lost last night. We've got Masters Week continuing. It's the par 3 contest going on today. Do you ever watch this?
No.
Never?
No. I mean, it's kind of cool to see the highlights of, you know, and you see the guys skipping the ball off the lake and the kids, you know, running around with a little Masters pullovers on. It's kind of become a little cliched now. It's no longer kind of cool where the one guy had his kids out there with him, and now everyone's got their kids out there, and so
it's a family event.
It's a family event. But it's like it's kind of lost its little specialness. It's not special anymore for, you know, to see that guy and his kid, whose kid is just running around. You know, I mean, this kid doesn't want to be out here for this. I mean, they really don't.
But, yeah.
I mean, we're watching. Who is this? We were watching here.
That's Jordan Spieth, right?
It's Jordan
there.
Spieth.
His He's wife. He's got someone over there handling the kids.
His wife's handling the kids. One kid is playing with flowers, and the other one is like, "I'd do anything for a nap right now." Oh, don't fall in the water. Oh no. Oh,
that's
no.
Too much spin there.
Plop.
Yeah. So, Ricky Fowler. He's currently
and his
in
dad.
The middle of this.
His kid. The kid that's playing with the flowers looked up and said, "What just happened?"
Went in the water. So, yeah, I'm very interested to see what Åberg does the entire...
that kid almost died. That kid started to walk in there, walk up onto the T-swing. I should have asked you, what are you doing this week? I should have asked you to come play in Kappa Classic with us this weekend.
I would have played if you would have asked. What day?
It's on Saturday.
I do have a game. I would have made Clint do my game for me, and then
I should have invited you. I don't know why I didn't invite you.
Why didn't you ever invite me?
I invited someone that'll be fun to be hanging out with.
Well, would they have been more fun than me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
no,
fine.
No, it actually wouldn't have been. Probably the same.
That's fine. Totally fine.
It's fine. Oh no!
Tech baseball embarks on a 3-game road trip. Nope. Try a six-game road trip.
I was
going
to say, you're a few
games short. Three different teams. Yeah. Six-game road trip that will start up tonight against Abilene Christian. And Jamie asked me a question. I know someone just asked the same thing on the chat line as well. I want to ask you the same question about this road trip coming up in just a little bit.
I didn't see the question.
Okay.
But I think I already know the question. Does he want to know what I think, what's acceptable for a win-loss on this trip?
No, that's not it, but you can give that as well. We'll get into that. Plenty of stuff to dive into over the next 3 hours or so. You're listening to The Bottom Line. Headlines next on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us on a hump day. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Of course, we're Chris Snead. Joining you from the First United Bank studio. The thoughts and comments coming in on the Gates Flooring Center chat line. Through that 100.7 The Score mobile app and at 107thescore.com. Ooh, that was a little strong. Y'all have put in some good ideas, a couple questions. I do want to ask my question because I'm selfish and I want to go first.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask my question that is actually Jamie's question that he asked me yesterday. But if you could only pick three games. If you knew Texas Tech's going to go 3-3 on this road trip, and you could pick the three games that Texas Tech wins, what three are you taking?
Friday, Saturday, and Monday.
That was my answer. Well, it was two in – I don't think you play Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Is it Tuesday, Wednesday?
It's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay, then yeah, Friday, Saturday, Tuesday. I want to win the night game in Fayetteville when they're all juiced up.
Okay.
And they're all
– I like that.
And they're all – fired up and ready to get after you and shove it back down your throat. And the game that they're probably going to throw Mason Molina in.
Yeah. I
could just say Friday, Saturday, whatever game Mason Molina starts.
He's not going to start again.
Yeah, he is. I feel
you're
it.
Dead set on it. I don't
feel
think so.
That.
I think they're going to throw him on Sunday like he did last week.
Mm.
Anyway, so I would go – mine was the same. I just said two against TCU and one against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. That's how I'd divvy it up. Jamie went with all three against TCU.
The second choice would be all three against TCU.
That would be my second choice. I don't want to lose the conference series. Even if you swept Arkansas, I wouldn't want to lose the conference series. Like I wouldn't choose one against TCU and two against Arkansas. Sure. Though you'd feel pretty good walking away from Fayetteville. Those are midweek games. And
those are big RPI wins.
Those would be
that's a huge enormous. RPI road win against RPI number two. Yeah, that's a big one.
It would honestly. That's probably the best scenario for your RPI.
Yeah,
because you're not if you lose against ACU tonight, and I hope you don't. But if you do, it's not going to kill your RPI because it's a road game against a 140 team in the RPI. So it's not going to just plummet you. It's not beneficial, but. I think what you said is probably the right answer for what's best for the team. Winning a Big 12 series and winning one against number one in the country on the road. Feel pretty good about that. Kirby Hocat was subbed on the Sneedaroo tattoo.
No, Kirby Hocat. Kirby Hocat is he's doing good, by the way.
Too much wee-wee in that segment for sure. That was from D-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, don't lie. We all know you have the chicken tramp stamp. It's from T-Money 806.
That'd be funny, but no, I don't.
I feel like you'd need like two of them like jumping over your backside. Sneed should tattoo the SEC ref uniform on top of his chest, full stripes.
take off the shirt, still shirt there.
I like that one. Bullfighter says, you're right, Sneed. The Texas Rangers are World Series champions, and I'll have that on my body to show Jesus and thank him for it.
You're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. And how many fans got a World Series championship trophy or some sort of a World Series champion thing put onto them for that? I actually owe Stephanie Rode, who is probably right about now in competition for the Nationals for cheer and palm.
Yeah.
That is going on. Well, actually, cheer. Yep.
That's happening now, right?
Right now.
Yeah.
But I owe her two mustache tattoos on my foot. As a member of the Raider Red, I told her
big toe.
It's supposed to be on the inside instep.
That sounds more painful.
It is apparently very painful. She has two Raider Red mustaches, and she has a double T for every time they've won a national championship in cheer and pomp.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I like that.
And I told her as member chair. I was a chair at one point of the Raider Red committee. I would get a mustache. And I have yet to do that. So I owe her two, actually.
But you don't have to go instep. I think they would look better on your big toes.
I'm not putting on those on my big toes.
Put a mustache on each big toe.
No.
Then you can always draw like little faces on the toenail.
No.
Okay. Glendale Jeff says, when I got out of basic training, everyone was going to get a tat. Called my dad and asked for one reason I shouldn't get a tattoo. He said, because it'd break your mother's heart. I'm 53. Mom's been gone for 8 years. Still no tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was part of the reason I didn't get one initially. Marquis says, cats suck. Support your local dogs.
I tried to find a dog. And I, you know, I've got specific rules for dog. It's got to be, I'm out of the puppy business. I am no longer doing puppies.
Fair.
I've raised all the puppies I'm ever going to raise in my life. So any dog that I get must be at least 2 years. It must be, must have been fostered. It must be already housebroken. I'm no longer housebreaking any more animals.
Did you hear that, Clint? We're getting Sneed a puppy for Christmas.
Nope.
Aw, puppy for Christmas.
What are you going to
do
with
the video?
You know, it's gonna really stink when you guys have to take that back to the store.
No,
because I am not. That. I am no longer doing that.
Wash the hands after we give it to you. I mean, that's
no.
It's yours, so you got to
throw
it on the
street. Drop the box off at your front door.
And I'm gonna take it down to the ASPCA and I said, somebody dropped this poor animal off of my house and I don't know what to do with it. So I thought I'd take it to you nice people.
Take it to PETA. They'll kill it for you.
Wow.
It's what they do. Shelly, I mean, they act like they're all humane and stuff and they kill off all the animals. They've euthanized so many animals.
Shelley PETA said, does?
Huh?
PETA?
Yeah. You didn't know that about PETA claims, oh my gosh, they euthanize more animals than anybody.
What?
Yeah. PETA, we love animals. Don't eat our chickens. Yeah. PETA's the most backwards organization there is.
It's either them or the A's.
They're stupid, too. Them or the A's?
Them or the A's.
turn. Oh!
Oh, man.
She just drained that. 30-foot putt. She drained it.
Bubba Watson's kid.
Bubba Watcher's kid. Yeah.
I mean, she's like...
She went every bit of 8 years old. Yeah. And she just drained a 30-foot putt and made it look easy.
I want her to putt for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Shelly says, one small tat on my collarbone, tiny, but dang, it was unpleasant. Here's a question. Guys, what are the odds we lose Coach McCasland? And they went exclamation point instead of question marks.
So. I don't think that's – I think if I was a Kansas State fan right now, I'd be a lot less – feeling easy right now.
I agree.
Then McCaslin hasn't been. He hasn't been at. I mean, he was at North Texas for a couple or 3 years, wasn't he?
Was it that long? I want to say, yeah. I think you're right.
And now he's been gone from there for 4 years. Tang's only been gone there for two. Tang was really more integral into the success of Baylor.
Oh,
than
Grant McCaslin hadn't been at Baylor since he was a player.
Yeah.
Since he was a player, because he was a GA at Tech.
Yeah. I mean.
Right? Yeah. Oh, no. Sorry. There was a stint at Baylor. Sorry, in between. But he was at North Texas, try six seasons.
Yeah.
At North Texas. One at Arkansas State before that. Then Midwestern State 2 years. Then it was the Baylor. But he was Midwestern State and Midland College prior to that. So it's.
It would. I mean, we would be. Crazy to think that they're not going to call him, but I think he's probably more along. I just don't think. What's the difference between there and here?
Well, they haven't.
They won a national.
They have one.
They won the game on Monday. Lost the game
on
Monday.
One banner, yeah.
They have a banner. We have played for a banner.
Yeah, I think
you could also put in. I mean, over the past 5 years, better recruiting. As well.
Sure they have.
They've gotten some absolute dudes.
But how much of that is Scott Drew versus
somebody else's
versus
kid
the
just,
logo?
Somebody else's four-year-old kid just made the same putt.
Yeah, oh, so that.
I don't disagree with that because Scott Drew has to be a part of it with the recruiting, but right. Still, they've gotten them on campus.
That's what I'm wondering. Yes, you can argue that, but if I'm putting a percentage on concern that McCaslin's leaving, I put it like 10 or 15%.
I
know there's a possibility, but it's
less than 20%. And until I hear differently,
Right now,
I would put it at less than 10%.
And can't we wait until Scott Drew is officially gone?
I think
he's not gone, right?
I think he is officially gone.
I didn't see anything official.
I don't think he's officially gone.
Okay. I know he's the leading candidate, but that's the last I saw.
And then he put up that post today, like, "Oh, eating here in Waco on a rainy day, nothing better."
And then getting on a private jet to Lexington.
It's the bottom line. Kaylee's Daily is next on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Wednesday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Keep your thoughts, your comments, your questions all coming in on the AIDS Warning Center chat line. We will get back to a few of those here in just a moment. But first, it is time for this thing. Doobie, doobie, doo. Thank you, guys. You guys are great. I love you all. If you didn't know, we're giving away cash money.
Cash lean.
Here at 100.7 The Score, Raymar Communications. Thanks to our friends at Home Zone for teaming up with us to give away a total of $10,000 this spring. And that'll culminate with a $2,500 cash giveaway at Two Docks on June 20th. But giving away a few hundred dollars every Tuesday and Thursday. So make sure you're listening in, and you'll get a chance to enter these words at 107thescore.com. Today's word for 12:45 is... Utes.
What do you mean, Utes?
The Utes of the nation.
What is a Ute? The Utes. Two youths.
U-T-E-S. Yeah, don't spell it with a Y. U-T-E-S. Go type that in at 107thescore.com, and you will get your latest opportunity to win some cash.
Caw-caw. Oh.
Choice.
Sneed.
Clint. It is time for Kaylee's Days, brought to you every day at this time, of course, by me. Damn. What can Chuck do? That's right. All right. Kaylee says, there are only a few animals in this world that currently exist that resemble a living dinosaur. Do you know what one of these?
How many animals?
Only a few. The Mata Mata.
Okay. That's what I was going to go with.
Okay. So. The Mata Mata turtle is a prime example. Mata Mata turtles are aquatic reptiles that live along the sandy bottoms of the Amazon River ecosystems. Mata Mata turtles grow to be about in feet.
2.5.
1.5 feet long, and they can weigh nearly.
If they're 1.5 feet, let's go with 18 pounds.
40 pounds! Mm. These turtles utilize their flat heads and long necks to lay motionless along the bottom of the turbid Amazon River. They also possess unique shell characteristics. You know what those shell characteristics are? They utilize coastal.
They got spikies.
Coastal scutes that run along the length of their carapace.
What the heck is this? Oh.
Yes.
I'm just looking at a picture.
Mata Mata turtles.
What is
also,
that?
Those are coastal scutes. Not Cody scutes. They're coastal scutes. Mata Mata turtles also possess hundreds of projectiles on their skin that act as motion detection to help locate prey and predators outside of their field of vision.
Wow.
Mata Mata turtles are ambush carnivores. Utilizing their long necks and wide mouth to launch at passing fish and invertebrates. The Mata Mata turtle.
Mata Mata.
Mata Mata.
Wow.
And I think that
thing does look like a dinosaur.
Yeah. If there's a coming, so coming up here either Thursday or Friday, it's International Pet Day. Is that right?
I think it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow?
I believe so.
So Kaylee is looking for unique pets. So if you have a unique pet, and you can go ahead and give that, and if you want to drop that in, she'll be looking for some unique pets to feature on International Pet Day.
You know how to catch a unique pet?
Unique up on it.
Hey, you said it earlier this week.
Oh,
did he just dunk that?
Did he just dunk? Oh no!
Oh, he sailed it.
Yeah.
I thought he dunked it. I wonder if he thought he dunked it.
Yeah.
I think this little kid's an amateur.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ute equals Indian tribe in Utah. Yeah, we realized that we were joking around. We were joking around. Thank you.
Tell me you've never seen My Cousin Vinny without telling me.
I've seen the scene, but I've never seen the movie. I need to see it.
That movie is its greatness.
Could it be made today? Is it one of those?
Yes, it could be made today.
Okay.
And that's Marissa Tomei.
That's our guy. My cousin Vinny is. Well, I can't think of his name. Homeboy from Home Alone. I'm like blanking right now.
Joe Pesci.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the fact that Joe Pesci is hooking up with Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
By the way,
James fun Doppelganger.
Fun fact, Kaylee's Dailies. Kaylee's middle name is Marissa after Marissa Tomei.
Named after? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her dad's favorite actress is Marissa Tomei.
Someone posted, got seven puppies for you, Sneed?
No, you don't. You have seven puppies for someone else.
Okay.
Those are cute.
Message me privately, text her, and I'll give you Sneed's address.
Nope.
Sneed, I got a 3-year-old doggo you can have. She's cute as can be, but it's still a nightmare.
Hold up. If your dog's a nightmare, she's 3 years old, and you're trying to get rid of her, that's not something I want.
Yeah. Think Chocho is referring the ASPCA. They kill millions. Here's on PETA last year. In 2023, PETA's kill rate was 76% of the dogs they had, 81% of the cats, and 78% for all animals in care. PETA's kill rate.
What?
So.
And they're lecturing me?
Oh, yeah. Don't kill animals.
They're lecturing me about we should change the footballs? No.
Oh, yeah. No, that was PETA's kill rate. ASPCA may also do it. I don't know, but I just know PETA because
they're out there lecturing.
They're a bunch
people.
Of buffoons.
They're out there lecturing people.
So
these are the guys that called my office in 2001
and
threatening me in my office because I was on the same campus as somebody that did something on the chemistry building. I have no idea. They're threatening me.
That includes a bunch of adoptable animals too that PETA's killing off, not just.
Wow.
Yeah, not just sick or anything like that. Tyler says, choice when he slides into his morning bath. It's the mata-mata.
Mata-mata.
Hey, you know what? I did take a morning bath today, and it was great.
Nice.
Like usual. Why the heck not?
I didn't even know that was the turtle. I thought that was just a picture of you that he'd gotten a hold of somehow. The likeness is uncanny.
Hmm. Thank you. Appreciate you. Sneeder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide. What do you want to talk about?
We've only got
like a minute and a half.
Yeah, you better figure it out.
All right,
you can slide some doggies at me, some dog.
Well, I was going to actually just give you the horse rankings. The horse update.
Yeah, update me.
For what we got voting on.
Yeah. What's the next round start?
There's not a next round.
Oh, we're just taking it right here.
This one goes.
The pods.
These pods, the winners of these go into
the voting goes through a win.
The voting will continue through tomorrow.
All right.
There's 22 hours left on
these. Okay, so if you haven't voted, you got
to
get out there.
Yeah, I need to go vote. All right, so going to pod one, Molested Goose leads the pack by quite a bit.
Yeah.
Rolling Momentum, Nature Nut in second. Big Sweaty Cuban has over 50% of the vote in pod two. Portal Shrinkage at 32%.
I actually voted for Portal Shrinkage.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Humpback Gladiator leads in pod three.
Yeah.
Slightly ahead of Argentinian Sausage. Pod four has Balls of Greatness leading. Witchcraft Paraphernalia is sitting in second.
Mm-hmm.
Air Biscuit leads the way in pod five.
I don't know how this is happening.
Harry Husk is third. Unleashed Fun is third.
That's why Unleashed Fun.
I liked Unleashed Fun.
Unleashed
too.
Fun.
The closest race I think we have, Hibachi Sadness, slightly ahead of Queso Drippage.
I've been Hibachi Sadness. I've got that.
White Lazarus and Child of Someone's Grandma. Road Pickle leads the way in pod seven with Hat Trick Mahomes in second.
What's the third?
Good Junk.
What's the fourth?
Zombie Runner.
Oh, I forgot what did I vote for?
I don't know. Noxious Odors leads pod eight. Chicken and Drugs is second. Rainbow Wahini third. Meat Sock in pod nine.
Yeah, let's go Meat Sock.
Ding Dong Daddy 10% behind. Buttercrotch at 53% in pod 10. Waffle Taco in pod 11. Barely ahead of Billy Bad Butt. Tobacco Enema at 66%. Blowing away the competition in pod 12. Pod 13 has Humpty Doomate slightly ahead of Glue Factory.
Okay.
And then Chatline Tourette's is ahead of Shenanigans in Pod 14. So remember, if you want to vote, it's on Twitter at 107 the score.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, people. Short show tomorrow, right?
Have a great one.
Yeah.
It's the bottom line on 100.7 score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy hump day. When are you going to learn?
Oh, man.
It's the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score. Sneed loves to blare and bust his eardrums. Every time Josh Voppel comes in here... And Jamie, both of you, same thing. He's like, oh my gosh. You put your earphones in and...
I didn't put them on until blasted. Right before, and so that's why you heard me audibly about it. But,
I
would love to sit down and do the 8th grade science test that no one's asking for in this building except for me. But like to switch out headphones to see really if it is hearing or just the headsets that we're using.
Yeah.
But I prefer the joke that like Sneed and Jamie just can't hear anything in their everyday life.
That is funnier. Yeah. Significantly funnier.
That's Josh Voppel now in to my right. And for Jamie, who is traveling to Abilene, I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass. Keep hitting us up. The thoughts, the comments, the questions, all of it welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app and at 107thescore.com. You could take that mobile app just about anywhere with you. Even listen in go Madagascar. I'm sure that's how they
I believe it's pronounced it. Go.
Oh. I was thinking the inflection's got to be different.
Yeah. Go. Someone pull up a YouTube video and see how the
I'm on it. This is the most important work I've been given all day.
Apparently, this is not even the first time these past couple weeks that Clint has looked up a YouTube video how to pronounce something. He told me about something recently, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, I know how to pronounce the word shake. That's what I was looking up. To get like the very automated version of shake to use it for something else.
That's right. I remember. That's true.
It wasn't
couldn't pronounce it. It was just for the robot version.
Right. But whoever sat at the production computer next probably saw like three different ways to look up like how to pronounce the word shake. And like, what idiot in this building doesn't know how to pronounce the word shake?
I mean,
shake.
That is
shock.
That would be a bit of a problem. Yeah. Can't pronounce simple words.
A Taylor Swift song would be sung very differently.
You know the word that Jamie would always make. Yeah, sorry, I was a little slow on that one. The word that Jamie would make fun of me on is my pronunciation of pronunciation. I would tend to say pronunciation.
Oh yeah,
and he would get all over me for saying.
Yeah, why are you saying it like that?
I say pronunciation now.
No, the first time you said pronunciation.
Yeah, because Jamie didn't like how I. Oh, I said that. So I've leaned into it now.
I don't think I do either.
Okay. Good to know. You two can join us. Whatever thoughts, comments, questions you got, bring those in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Someone says, not sure my wife would go for me naming my daughter after an actress I had a celebrity crush on.
That's fair.
Yeah. Apparently Sneed named one of his daughter's middle names after a celebrity crush.
Scarlett Johansson, you go to your room right now.
That would be Hax's for sure. Scarlett Johansson. So, Josh, have you ever, felt like you just need to take things into your own hands at work? Stuff's not getting done around here the right way, so I'm just going to take over.
There are times where, yes, that is the case. There are other times where it's like, look, you've put this on me. I've done all I can. I'm going to let this stop in its tracks before you. Since you've done nothing for this.
So a museum in Germany recently fired an employee because he did just that. These idiots don't know what they're doing. I'm going to take over myself. A museum in Germany announced they had to fire an employee after he hung up one of his own paintings in the modern arts section.
Well, okay.
He's 51 and described as a former technician at the museum. They say he was hoping it might help him break through as an artist. Happened on February 23rd of this year. He went in after hours, hung the 4-foot painting on an empty wall alongside works by people like Andy Warhol.
So that is funny.
Hey, this is gonna be my breakthrough right here. 4 foot too. It's not like this is just some small one that's like you can sneak in.
It's
past
not
people.
Sunflowers. It is. It's 4 foot.
I want to see this painting now. That's what I want to see. How?
Yeah, that's the real publicity. He got fired over this painting. They put it in the press. This is the painting. In discussion.
He had to drill.
It was a self-portrait, and there was very little clothing.
He had to drill two small holes in the wall to hang it. So on top of losing his job, he could actually face charges of property damage, too. Just come on. Just let the guy.
That is funny.
I wonder how long they let him keep it up there before he... There's some German words in this article. I'm not even going to attempt, but you look like you could handle them.
Say it confidently. Sure.
I took German for 3 years.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right.
I could pronounce
it. What is the name of this?
That doesn't mean I know what it means.
What is this newspaper named?
Süddeutsche Zeitung.
Okay.
Süddeutsche Zeitung.
There you go. Wow. Who knew you would be such a German savant here in First United Bank Studio?
It has been a long time. I can read it. Probably my vocabulary is awful at this point.
How do you say savant in German?
No idea.
A French word in German.
Cannot find a pronunciation, by the way, of go, 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 go.
Oh.
Anywhere. I keep on putting it into Google, and I'm just getting like race videos of go, 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 go.
Find out what language they speak in Madagascar, and then just do a translation.
I'm guessing it's not Madagascan. That they speak there. Right?
No, they speak like...
All hail the
New York.
I was
about
pansies.
To say lemur. They speak lemur in Madagascar. If Hollywood Julian. Has shown us anything, we should know that. It is a rural municipality in southwestern Madagascar. Belongs to the district of Amphany. Amphany. I don't know.
What's the official language?
That's a great question.
Okay.
One I'm not going to answer for you because I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That particular
I thought you were on the page.
No one actually knows how to say it because the population is 1,000 people at that place.
Oh, so. Wow.
When they said small, it actually was pretty.
Indeed.
Pretty small. Y'all keep hitting us up. If you got thoughts, comments, questions, bring those in on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. We'll talk a little baseball, basketball. I want to talk some tech football, and we have Vegas odds. For a Brazil game.
Is that the Packers game?
That is the Packers game.
All right.
Immediately after they announced, hey, there's a Brazil game, they give us odds on that particular game.
How about that?
So we'll fill you in on that coming up. It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us. You're listening to Bottom Line, Hump Day Edition here on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Josh Voppel here in the First United Bank studio. Hey, Josh.
Yes.
The first set of NFL game odds have for the 2024 season have just dropped.
Is it for all week one or for just that game?
Just for this game.
Okay.
Following the announcement that the Eagles and Packers will play in Brazil in week one, took one sportsbook just a few minutes to release the first line of the year. BetOnline.ag put out Philadelphia as a 3.5-point favorite over the Green Bay Packers. Over-under set at 46. So... for you degenerates out there, you can go bet on that already.
Luke Lucas at his phone.
So, Brazil, how do you feel about this? That there's a game in week one in Brazil?
I think it's important for if the NFL is set on expanding its reach, it has to be open to those places. And I don't know what the market is in Brazil, but apparently the NFL feels like there is one. So,
well, I mean,
I'm about it, I guess.
You see what happens when we see these leagues cross borders, and they're wildly popular. The Mexico City game, the London games sell out every time. The which is it? Munich? Where are they doing?
Germany.
Where in Germany?
That's what I don't know. I don't know exactly.
I don't remember where. Anyway, Antwerpen. I don't know. Is that how you say that name?
I don't. If I saw it, I could tell you, but I have no idea.
Antwerpen. That's the West Texas.
I love that. Like the synopsis of this hour has been just asking how to pronounce various places.
Yeah, of course. So anyway, wherever the NFL has gone, it's been gold. They've been able, and I'm sure Sao Paulo will be exactly the same. I'm sure it will be very successful. In these situations, these are successful because they're one-offs. If you ever launched a team in any of these locations, like London's been talked about, or Mexico City, would it still be as popular as they are for single games?
That's a great question. I think I'll think about that for a minute. But I think the only thing I really have an issue with is it being week one.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you rather? So, like, then you can get back to a normal schedule after that, and it doesn't interrupt.
Not really.
I don't know how long a flight to Brazil is. Is it?
It's not game one, is it? It's just in week one, right?
I don't think this is the Thursday night game.
Yeah. So, it's not like baseball where like they kicked off the season with the South Korea game.
Yeah.
So it's not like that, but it's still very beginning week one. You're starting off a season, and I get that you want that international reach, but it is, you know.
It's a Friday game, actually.
Weird.
So they're playing a Thursday game and a Friday game. So
okay.
A standalone at Corinthians Arena in Sao Paulo.
I wonder who gets the rights to that since it's on a Friday. I have no problem with it being in Brazil. I think that where I have the most problem, and it's minor. This is me saying I have a problem. That doesn't mean a big problem, but I think it's weird that it's week one.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah, I think it's odd. But at the same time, I think it does give you more time to get there early and then get into your routine following that.
That is true. Yeah, so, I think if there that's true. If there was going to be, and you hear it every time, players and teams, and I'm sure there's merit to it, complaining about travel and practice time and all that stuff.
So this is one of the Packers' home games. That's who's losing it over this. So yeah. That's the one that and has to give it up.
They haven't had an away game, international game, in a long time.
The Cowboys haven't done one yet in all of this international travel. I don't think they've had to go to London. Have they? I don't remember ever seeing
them. I don't remember the Cowboys going.
No, I don't think. And I definitely don't think the NFL is going to make the Cowboys give up a home game. But I wouldn't have thought they'd make the Packers give up a home game. So
I think you have to volunteer.
They're going to make everybody do it through this long stretch over so many years. Everybody's going to have to participate. It's not like the Jaguars that do it every year.
You think it's like the like the Hard Knocks, they'll have like certain rules.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some rules around it. And it's like, well, you haven't done it yet. Anyway, so I just thought it was interesting, this Brazil game. I do think, you know, I think there could be success with international NFL, but nothing. I think Mexico City is where it's got to start. If they're going to expand, it's got to be somewhere that the travel's not crazy different. Like the London game, there's a lot of difference there. The Brazil game, like the time zone wouldn't be that far off.
Right.
It's still going to be a big long flight to get there, and that's a whole thing in itself. So I don't know if if this is something the NFL should keep pursuing. But, just, I mean, we've seen the success. And when you've seen Manchester United, or when you've seen Tottenham or whoever come over to the U.S. and play individual games over here, or all-star games even, we've seen, I mean, those stadiums sell out like crazy too, because it's something new, it's different. But if one of those soccer teams played over here full time, if you had an EPL team, which makes no sense, playing in America, an English Premier League team playing in America full time, would it be that successful?
I mean, because you're not looking at everybody scrounging to get tickets if you know they're going to be there next week, if you know they're going to be there in a month.
Yeah, you got half your games at home. I don't know how that that would all work out.
There is apparently a huge market for it in Germany, but Germany is like where it's biggest. They had a huge waiting list in Germany the last time, or last season.
Yeah, but again, if you had Germany as a you had a German team,
yeah,
like a Berlin site team, kinda. would they be as excited about it, especially if they stink, like if they break into the league and they get off to a slow start?
You have to assume that it would be like the worst performing, like the fan base for the worst performing NFL team. Like that would be, I guess, your best case scenario.
Yeah.
And it could shatter expectations, sure, but you would hope it would perform at least that well.
Right.
Or only that poorly.
I would guess it would be, there would be a lot of excitement for it, but the shine would wear off after a little bit if there's not success.
I think the other thing, though, that would play a factor into this is if you have an organization based out of Germany or an organization based out of London, you're the only one competing with yourself in that area, right? Like here,
right,
in any given area, you have, you know, two or three teams to choose from when you're growing up. And you know, part of that maybe from your family,
but you have
competition. So if there's any hunger for the sport, you pretty much have your team over there.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think support, even if the team is bad, at least at the start of the, like the first couple of years when they're over there, I think whether they're bad or good, I think that there would be support, just because if you're hungry to see this sport, if you're hungry to see something different, well, you really only have one option.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think also, one of the things that teams benefit from are certainly visiting fan base. You know, if it's close enough, like I, in theory, could drive to Dallas if I wanted to go to a Packers game. You know, they're on the schedule.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have that benefit for a Germany-based team. You don't have an away crowd buying tickets consistently
True. But then again, you could have fan bases that plan their vacation around.
Yeah.
A trip to, hey, let's go watch the game in Germany this year.
For part of that conversation, it could be a little bit like the A's in Vegas. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Hey, I'm going to go watch my team go play in Las Vegas. Sure, let's go make a trip out of it.
Right.
You know, I know there's been
on a bigger scale, but still.
Oktoberfest.
I know whoever's there's been a lot
that,
of.
Whoever's playing that week, let's go.
I know there's been a lot of backlash towards the A's in Vegas, and rightfully so in some circles. Yeah. They don't put any fans in the stands. That's part of the problem.
They haven't tried also.
But that's exactly my approach. It's like, I'm like, man, the A's play in the same division as the Rangers. I can go for a weekend to Vegas and catch the Rangers in that ballpark and check a ballpark off the list and get to go to Vegas and hang out. So, yeah, I think there's definitely some draw to that. Again, I don't know if this is just going to be the NFL – you know, bouncing single games around forever, or if they do actually have eyes on expanding the league into new territories. Young, tell us what you think. We got some of your thoughts on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. It is the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Wednesday, you're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score. I'm going to throw something at my point.
Brilliant.
Clint, will you come in here for a second?
No, unrelated.
Yeah,
no
sure,
reason.
Man. Why?
We've got four remotes in here. I need your help fixing one of them. Heard if you like bang it really hard on someone's head, it usually.
Gotta do what?
Fixes something. To the Yates Flooring Center chat line, D-Rock says they speak Malagasy and French in Madagascar.
Oh, cool.
So it is actually, upon further review, it's that's how you say go, 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 go.
Really?
No.
Oh, I was about to say.
You almost believed me.
That's why I was waiting to see, like, yeah, I looked it up and I can play it right here.
Lots of clicks.
This from the French.
The French, yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's the Madagascar.
And there's the molested goose again.
They have lots of lemurs.
First Margot, then Marissa, now Scarlett. It's a stellar day on 100.7. Thank you. Man helping man, Johnny Law at slide and 106th. All right. Slow down out there. Trey informs us that the Cowboys played the Jaguars in London in 2014. I vaguely remember now that he mentioned that. That would have been one of the first London games.
I do remember that.
You said you don't.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, well, because my life happens in chunks, not in years. So 2014, okay. I graduated college. And yeah, it would have been that season. And anyway, that's basically my frame of reference.
Okay. This from Lindale Jeff says, went to San Francisco to see the Rangers, my home team, play my favorite team, Giants, 12 years ago. That was a one-time thing. Don't see how that business model would work if the A's don't gain local fans. San Francisco and Vegas are two different animals completely. Yes, San Francisco is a tourist spot, but Vegas is like only a tourist spot.
Yeah.
People go to Vegas every single week, every single weekend to go have a ball. And you throw a sports event into that. That's why the Golden Knights are successful. I mean, they didn't
like the day games also. Like, I mean, you're in Vegas. Waiting for your night shows or your, you know,
sure,
walking the strip at night. What are you going to do at 2 p.m.? You know, there's a game going on.
Yeah, I think Lindell, Jeff, I get your point, but I think the model is completely different for a team that's in Vegas. Now, if you want to compare to Germany or something, yeah, that is more of a one-time thing.
I agree, Vegas as a point.
Well, and in the hockey team, now granted, they were competitive from the start, but the hockey team immediately saw support and fans going to it. And it's not all just locals. That's what I'm saying. And going to it for the same reasons. And, hey, now I can go as a hockey fan. I can go to Vegas and do all the Vegas type things. Oh, and also I can go catch a hockey game.
Same with the Raiders. I mean, like, there's people that go because it's a sporting event you can go to while you're already going to gamble and have a party in Vegas. So let's get to.
By the way, Tony Romo threw three touchdowns in that game, returning from a back injury, beating the Jaguars 31-17.
Returning from a back injury doesn't narrow it down.
I do think I remember that. I feel like they had weird shadows in that game, if I'm remembering correctly. But anyway, let's get a question in.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day, brought to you by someone not named Jamie.
That someone is I. We're going to go to tech football, fellas. I'm going to ask you to tell me what stat.
Oh, no.
For the 2024 season, what stat do you think you'll be able to look at in 2024 and will be the most telling stat that can tell you the season, how the season went in 2024? One particular stat.
QB starts.
Outside of wins and losses. I forgot to do that for Clint. That is technical.
I like Josh.
Yeah. I think that's a good one. I think it's a fair answer. If you want to get that's particular. You could tell me how many yards Baron Morton throws for.
If you're
telling me that he's got another, you know, less than 2,000-yard passing season, that means he's probably not healthy or things didn't go well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a completely fair answer. That can be a telling answer on what it is.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know if that's going to stay my answer, but I think that's an important one just because if it's not Baron Morton, then you have Jake Strong, who was on the field minimally last year, and then just other quarterbacks who haven't seen the field in, we have a transfer, don't we, right?
Yeah, Cameron Brown.
So, okay, yeah. So it's not entirely true, but you're building an offense around Baron Morton. It's that's at minimum not going to be who you set as the starter, which is a problem for every team, obviously.
Yeah.
The other stat that I would want to this is a little inside baseball, but
we're talking football.
I know. Would be how long. I don't know what the official stat is called, but how long they held the ball for.
Time of possession?
Yeah. I mean like the quarterback, like from snap to release.
Oh, okay.
Because I felt, at least towards the beginning of the season, especially the Shuck games, it felt like they were holding the ball forever. And, you know, a lot comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are probably the two things I would... if it's not going to be quarterback starts for quarterback, if it's not... all the games for Baron Morton, then snap to release, that the time of release, I guess, is would probably be telling.
Okay. I like it.
So I'm going to go from the quarterback angle as well. And the reason is I expect the defense to be fine, at least fine to really good. I expect the running game with Taj Brooks and hopefully with Cameron Valdez taking another step to be one of your most consistent pieces of your team. So I go to the passing game, and I'm going to go touchdown to interception ratio. Because even if you do have, because looking at that state, you're not going to be like, oh, okay, well, we know for sure Baron played every single game in this season. But at least from that stat, you can tell if Baron does go out. One, if Baron's playing, his progression and how he's actually doing. But the other side, if he does go out, okay, what did your backup look like?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a strong situation in BYU last year or against Kansas State? I think if you see a step forward in that, that can tell you that you had a better season and probably won a couple more games.
Okay.
If it's around the same, if it's, I think it was 24 and 13, like last year, not feeling great, Bob.
Yeah. If I'm going to be less, like I said, inside baseball, I mean, sacks is another easy one to look at. Someone that's a little more accessible for like everyone to just look at a stat sheet.
Yeah, I think the sacks part, though, is...
I mean, like, against, like, sacks allowed.
Sure. I mean, you can give up not that many sacks, but your quarterback can still run for his life a lot. Mm-hmm. So, that I mean, Patrick Mahomes has not sacked a ton when he was here, but he was running for his life the entire time.
QB pressures.
Yeah, pressures. If you don't get more deep on that, QB pressures, that sort of thing. Yeah, I think both of those stats, like those stats are all probably going to be pretty telling, pretty indicative of what your season is going to be. But I want to know, I'm going to go to the defensive side. My first one was going to be your total number of pass attempts for Morton. That was going to be it. But going to the defensive side, I think what I would want to know is how many turnovers you're forcing. Just total turnovers. And when you look at the successful seasons defensively, the success, and it correlates to the offense, you can take an average defense, and I think this is going to be a above average. I don't know how much beyond above, but above average defense this year. That you could take an average defense and make them good with turnovers. We've seen that time and time again in the Big 12. Seen teams specifically. I mean, OSU has done that multiple times where their defenses have been, meh. But they get a lot of takeaways, set their offenses up with short fields. So total number of takeaways this year, I'd like to know that number, and it'd be a pretty telling number for your team as a whole.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.